Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I hope you are having a good morning. Hope your weekend's going great. Of course, it's Thanksgiving Day weekend. I'm sure we are all still stuffed and full from the big feast on Thursday. I hope you were able to enjoy some time with family. I know some may be doing a little different this year because of the pandemic, but I hope you were still able to enjoy the holiday, and we have so much to be thankful for, and we need to be thankful all the time, but it's just great to have a holiday that's focused on Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for His abundant blessings, and He is so good to us. Right in the midst of a pandemic, we have seen God just do so much, and so many people have testimonies of what God has done in their lives this year, and we truly have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm thankful for you. Thankful for you listening to Sunday Morning with Love and Action. This morning, we are going to talk about the I Am statements of Jesus. I'm really excited about this teaching, and we're going to jump into it. We have a lot of scripture to get into, but before we do, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear God, we are so thankful to you. You are such a good Father. You are an awesome Father. You are the one true God, the creator of the heavens and earth. And we thank you that every good and perfect gift comes from you. And God, I pray that we will be thankful people like you tell us to be. And God, we do have so much to be thankful for. Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the salvation that you give us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, for God just giving us life, new life through Jesus, and eternal life because of what you did for us, Jesus, on that cross, and because you arose from the grave. And we just give you praise. God, I thank you for each one listening today. Father, I lift them up to you. I ask your blessings upon them, upon their families. Father, I pray for those who are sick that you would bring healing to their lives. God, I pray for those who mourn and who miss loved ones, God, that you would bring comfort and peace to their lives. Father, I pray for those who don't know you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus. I pray that today, Lord, will be the day that they call out to you and surrender to you, Lord, and experience true life and have the assurance of eternal life. So, Lord, we just give you this time. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us, to lead us into all truths, and may we be doers of your word and not hearers only. We love you and we praise you, and it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The past couple of weeks, we have been looking at Jesus and that he is God and that he has been always. He's always existed and always will exist. 2 weeks ago, that's what we talked about. Jesus has always existed. Last week, we talked about how Jesus has always had a plan of salvation for us. God revealed that to us right there in Genesis after the original sin of Adam and Eve in the garden. And this week we're going to talk about the I Am statements of Jesus. Now Jesus, he showed through his ministry that he indeed was the Son of God. Yet there's no doubt as we read about him and see all the things that he's doing now in our lives that he is the Son of God. He's God himself, as we've been talking about the past 2 weeks. And Jesus proclaimed he was the Son of God by using the name I Am to say who he is. Now in the Old Testament, for those of you who aren't familiar with the term I Am, in the Old Testament, I Am refers to God. When God called Moses, go back to Exodus chapter 3, God calls Moses to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses asked him for his name. And let's read that. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. God provided his people with a name that denotes his uncased, independent, and eternal character. Moses, now he was faced with an unenviable task. He had to go ask Pharaoh to set the Israelites free. Not an easy task to do. And he asked God what his name is, because Moses, he's going to have to tell the Israelites that God has called him to lead them out of Egypt. And he knows they're going to ask, well, what's this God's name? He understands the Israelites are going to be inquisitive, and they're not just going to listen to anyone, and especially something of this magnitude. So Moses asked God, what is your name? Who do I tell them is sending me to lead them out of Egypt? And God is telling Moses and the Israelites that he is and will always be by saying, I am. And if you think about it, God owes nothing and no one for his existence. He is the supreme, uncreated, sovereign, and sole God of the universe. And actually all things owe their being to him. So God is saying, tell him I am sent you. I am who I am. And so therefore, when we talk about the I am statements of Jesus, to really set the scene for you, especially if you don't understand what I am means in the Old Testament, you now see that it's very important. It's a very holy name, a very sacred name, and not one that just anybody would use and call themselves that. And we can even go to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, let's look at verses 10 and 11. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. And then let's look at verse 25 in the same chapter, Isaiah 43, verse 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Very powerful words from God here to Isaiah. And he is saying, I am. I am the Lord. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. So you see how Jesus' I am statements would have a particular significance to the first century Jewish listeners. God had revealed himself to Moses with the resounding I am. The Jewish people of that time, they had studied that and they had learned that their entire lives and their upbringing and teaching in the temples. They understand who I am is. And so when Jesus uses those statements, it gets their attention, makes a lot of them mad. But he proves that he is God. He is I am. Jesus used the same words to describe himself. Jesus uses I am as a title to identify himself with the sovereign God of the Old Testament. We can read in the book of Job, chapter 9, verse 8, where Job tells us God alone walks on the water. Then we go to Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 50, and we see Jesus walking on the water. See, there's another example. Only God can walk on the water, and we see Jesus walking on water. At his trial, when Jesus was put on trial, the high priest asked Jesus if he is the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus responds, I am. See, he uses the name, I am, signifying that he is indeed God's Son. We're going to talk about seven I am statements of Jesus, and we're going to look at that in the Gospel of John. But he uses the title more than those seven key statements we're going to look at, we're going to focus on today. And some of the more important ones we find, again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 26. Jesus says, I who speak to you am he. I am he. So he's talking about, I am God. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 24. Jesus says, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus saying, you have to believe. You have to believe that I am the one and only Son of God. I'm the Messiah. I am God. He says, you know, if we don't believe, we'll die in our sins. The same chapter 8 of John, verse 28, So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." Jesus says, again, he uses that phrase, "I am He." Same chapter, 8, verse 58. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham, I am." I mean, Jesus is making it so clear. He's using these "I am" statements that he's saying, "I am the great I am." And of course, people are getting mad at him at this time too. But Jesus is just putting the facts out there. Before Abraham was, I am. John chapter 13, verse 19. "I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am He." So Jesus knows what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be betrayed. He's going to be put on trial. He's going to be beaten, and he's going to be nailed to a Roman's cross and die on the cross. And he knows on the third day he's going to rise from that grave. And he's saying, this is all going to happen. And I'm telling you now, so when you see it happen for yourselves, you'll believe that I am He. And they did. Man, do we see lives change after Jesus dies and rises from the grave. And such a great example is the Apostle Peter. He was there with Jesus throughout Jesus' ministry. And then when Jesus was arrested, he denied Christ 3 times. He was fearful. He didn't want to be arrested. And after he saw the resurrected Christ, he became so bold. He didn't care if he was going to be arrested or not. He was going to tell everybody he could about Jesus and teach about Jesus and why he is the Messiah. And he did die a martyr's death, but he was a totally transformed man, going from being fearful to being so bold that he was willing to die for Christ, willing to die to tell others about Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am. I am He." John chapter 18, verses 4 through 6. "Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, 'Whom do you seek?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am He.' Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, 'I am He,' they drew back and fell to the ground." The soldiers right there at that moment, as they were coming to arrest Jesus, and Jesus says, "I am He." At that moment, the soldiers acted like men who were in the presence of deity. They fell to the ground, prostrate before Jesus. When he said, "I am," it must just been such authority in that, that they knew that he really was "I am." I like what Matthew C. Williams, who is a theology professor at Talbert School of Theology, wrote. He wrote, "Jesus not only is the one who comes in the name of the Father, but he comes with the name of the Father. Jesus is not just human. He is the divine I am." We can understand why the Jewish leaders did not understand. Monotheistic Judaism had no room for a divine Messiah. Thomas, though, got it right when he exclaimed, "My Lord and my God," in John chapter 20, verse 28. Okay, I went over all of that to set up what we're going to talk about, focus on today, and that's the 7 I am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John. But I wanted you to really understand what the term, the name I am, means and the significance of it, and especially the significance of it to the Jewish people of that time who really understood what I am is all about. So when studying the New Testament, it's also interesting to note that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels because they have a similar content. They focus on telling us what Jesus said and what he did. Now, John's Gospel is unique because it tells us who Jesus is. So you see, the Synoptic Gospels tell us what Jesus said, what he did. John's Gospel tells us who Jesus is. The Synoptics focus, again, the focus on signs and sayings of Jesus. John emphasizes the identity of Christ. And in the Gospel of John, Jesus is definitely identifying himself as God. So just wanted to give you, again, just another breakdown about this. John really focuses on who Jesus is. And these 7 statements we are going to look at now are all revelations from Jesus that he is the promised Messiah, the anointed one, for which Israel has been waiting for centuries. So just picture it. For centuries, the Jewish people have been waiting for the Messiah. And now the Messiah has come. And Jesus is proclaiming who he is. And he's telling them, I am the Son of God. I am God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is one God, the triune God, the Trinity. And let's start with the first statement in John chapter 6, verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. See, Jesus says, I am. He's using that name. I am the bread of life. So as bread sustains physical life, Christ offers and sustains spiritual life. He uses that name again, I am the bread of life, in John chapter 6, verse 41. So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now Jesus, in talking about being the bread of life, the bread that has come down from heaven, he's referencing the bread from heaven that the people of Israel ate in the wilderness. God provided manna. He provided that bread for them each and every day while they were wandering in the wilderness. But yet they eventually died. Now Jesus says believers in him will have endless life, eternal life, if they eat of his flesh, verse 41. But now he's not talking about cannibalism here, okay? He's talking about believing in him and following him. He is just simply referencing the manna the children of Israel ate in the wilderness. And God provided it daily for them. And now Jesus, he's the bread of life. See, back when they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, God provided bread for them. They eventually died. They still died. But now Jesus, the bread of life, if we believe in him and follow him, we will have eternal life. So you see, the bread of life provides eternal life. Jesus uses the I am statement again in John chapter 8, verse 12. He says, I am the light of the world. To a world lost in darkness, Christ offers himself as a guide. And do we ever need his light in today's world? This world has grown so dark. That's why we need to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so his light can shine brightly through us. And the world needs to know, people need to know about Jesus, the light of the world. Let's shine his light. Let's let his light reflect through us to this world who needs him so badly. Jesus, here in John 8, verse 12, he's referencing people of ancient Israel and the pillar of fire that they followed through the wilderness, Exodus chapter 13. You can go back to Exodus and read all that. But they were led by a pillar of fire at night. So we see he's the bread of life, referencing the manna that God provided. And now he's saying he's the light of the world, referencing the pillar of fire that the Israelites followed while they were in the wilderness. And it's fitting that Jesus makes this statement in the temple courts during the Feast of Booths. And what that is, that's a time that the Jewish people commemorate Israel's sojourn in the desert with a display of bright lights. That's when Jesus tells them, I am the light of the world. And Jesus, he is such a better and eternal light. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's share Jesus with others. Let's share his salvation, his forgiveness, his eternal life that he offers all of us. Let's shine his light in this world. Number three, Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. And again in chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. So see, Jesus protects his followers as shepherds protect their flocks from predators. Jesus is likely here referencing Jerusalem's sheep gate. We can find that in Nehemiah chapter 3, verses 1, verse 32. The sacrificial sheep and lambs for the offerings, the sacrifice offerings that the Israelites would bring before God back in the Old Testament days, the sacrificial sheep and lambs were brought through the sheep gate to the temple for sacrifice, providing a way for the sins of the people of Israel to be covered. But Jesus, he is a better gate and a better shepherd. He is the gateway to eternal life and salvation for all people. Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." Yes, he is. And he is such a good, good shepherd. He is awesome. The fourth statement, "I am the resurrection and the life." Jesus says in John chapter 11, verse 25, he is saying death is not the final word for those in Christ. Such powerful words. Jesus, in this verse here, John 11, 25, his words are following Martha's reference to the final resurrection of the body that Daniel prophesied about, actually in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And Jesus explains that the resurrection and life is found in more than just an event. It is found in a person, and more specifically in him. You see, the resurrection is not an event. Jesus is the resurrection, and Jesus is life. He's the only true life. Do you know this Jesus? Have you surrendered to him? He is the resurrection and the life, and he will give you new life, and you will live forever and ever with him. Spiritually, you won't die. He is the resurrection and the life. The fifth statement, John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Jesus is committing to caring and watching over those who are his. And here he is likely referencing the shepherd of Psalms chapter 23. Jesus is the ultimate good shepherd. He restores the souls of everyone who believes in him. Has your soul been restored? It can be by turning your life over to Jesus, letting him be your shepherd. Jesus is, he's so awesome. He's God. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's the good shepherd. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He's the door of the sheep. You and I are sheep, and he's our good, good shepherd. He is so awesome. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the source of all truth and knowledge about God. As the only sinless human to ever walk on this earth. Now remember, Jesus was fully God and fully human. Only Jesus was able to keep all the decrees, commandments, and laws of God, and thus walk in the way and truth of God that leads to life. So you and I couldn't walk that way. We couldn't live that way. No person can. No person ever has, but Jesus. So Jesus came to make the way for us. He is the truth, and he is life. And his death and resurrection gives us the opportunity to receive his life. His life forever and ever and ever. Because see, there is a final destination for our souls. If we don't follow Jesus, if we don't turn to him and give our lives to him, then hell is where the soul will go. And hell, in final judgment, will get cast into the lake of fire. And that's forever and forever and no end. But if we give our lives to Christ, we live for him here on this earth, then eternity will be with him forever and ever and ever. And it's something that it's so awesome, we can't even visualize it. We can't even imagine the things God has in store for his people. So that's why I'm always asking people, do you know Jesus? Do you really know him? Not just who he is, but do you know him? Do you believe with all your heart that he's the Son of God and that you've given your life to him? Because we have eternity coming up. This life's going to be over with quick. Like the Bible tells us, life is but a vapor. And that is so, so true. I'm about to turn 54 and I can't believe I'm already 54 years old. Where did this life go? It went fast. And I don't know how many years I got left here on this earth, but I do know because of what Jesus has done and my faith in him that I'm going to live forever with him. Do you know that? I encourage you to just call out to him today and just ask him to forgive you and just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I believe with all my heart you died for me and you rose again on the third day. Save me, Lord. I want to live for you. I want to live with you forever. Just pray anything like that. Just call out to him the best you can. He'll meet you right where you're at. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll give you eternal life. And if you make that decision, I'd love to hear from you because I'd love to give you some next steps. And you can email me at ken.tuck@loveinactionministries.com or call 334-494-4995. The last statement we're going to look at. I am the true vine, Jesus says in John 15, verses 1 and 5. What's important about that is that by attaching ourselves to Christ, we enable his life to flow in and through us. Then we cannot help but to bear good fruit, fruit that will honor our Heavenly Father. Now Jesus, by calling himself the true vine, he drew on the many Old Testament references to Israel as a vine. We see that in Psalms chapter 80, verses 8 through 16, and Isaiah 5, verses 1 through 7, Jeremiah 2, verse 21, Ezekiel 15, verse 1 through 8, Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, Ezekiel chapter 19, verses 10 through 14, and chapter 10, verse 1. Though Israel was the vine that God transplanted from Egypt and planted along a hillside, it became a vine that was cut down. And you can see that in Psalms chapter 80. It was the vine that became corrupt, Jeremiah chapter 2. And ultimately, the vine that was destroyed, Isaiah chapter 5. Jesus, however, he is the true vine. He fulfills Israel's promise to obey the commands of God and bear fruit on Israel's behalf. Whoever is connected to him will have life and bear much fruit. John 15, verse 5. We need to bear good fruit. We need to live for Christ. Let him live in us. Let him live through us. And when we do that, life takes on an amazing new turn here. I mean, he just starts transforming our lives. And we start seeing him do things that just blow our mind. And he will work through us to touch other lives so they can also see how awesome Jesus is and can call out to Jesus for themselves and also experience life here on earth and have life eternal. So let's live for Christ. Let's tell people about Jesus. We've gone through Thanksgiving now. We're into the Christmas season. We're going to talk about the baby Jesus, but let's talk about the whole Jesus, how he's always been, how he's always had a plan of salvation, and how he is the great I am, and how he came into this world and he lived a perfect life. He did many signs and wonders and phenomenal teaching, performed all kinds of miracles, even raised the dead back to life. And then he died on that cross for our sins. And then on the third day, arose from the grave, defeating Satan, death, and sin forever, and giving us the opportunity to receive him as our Savior and Lord, to receive his forgiveness, and the wonderful privilege of living for him here on this earth, and then living forever and ever and ever with him when our time on earth is over. So that's why I say, do you know him? Do you really know him? And I pray that you will, that today will be your day to call out to him. Well, I appreciate you and thank you for joining me today here on Sunday Morning with Love and Action. I hope you come back next week and we'll open up the Word of God again. I hope you have a wonderful week coming up. And I pray that the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.